And this is my last session. This is the penultimate session of the conference. You open your Bible to Jude chapter 20, please. And to recap everything that's happened this week would take far too long. I've just been so blessed and so well fed, man. It's just been awesome. And my first session, I preached on some of the benefits of speaking in tongues. Some of the things that happen when we speak in tongues. And this one benefit, God told me to hive off and preach my whole second message on it. And I was like, God ever speak to you and you say, that's not right. God, I said, I can't get a whole message out of this. But I could. In fact, I could probably preach a month on this after some of the stuff God's been showing me. Jude, it's the second last book in the Bible. It shouldn't be too difficult to find. Just start Revelation and work your way backwards. Jude, and it's verse 20. There's only one chapter, so that shouldn't be too difficult. But you, beloved, isn't that great? It starts with beloved. That's you. God beloved you. You are beloved. He loves you. Doesn't say, but you, Fleabag. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. Man, that's what Marie Helene spoke on this morning. It's your responsibility to build up you. It's amazing how we take that and give that to someone else. It's your responsibility. You know, I preach the greatest message in the world, but if you stayed in bed this morning and just didn't bother coming, how can I help you? Well, I can't turn up and knock on your door and drag you here, nor would I. I'd rather preach to the people who want to be here. But you've got to build up yourselves. This is your responsibility. And you guys are the fanatics. You're here Saturday afternoon. You know, you're a crazy fanatic about Jesus. That's why you're here. But even as fanatics, sometimes we need to realize Monday morning, it's your job to build yourself up. Tuesday, it's your job. Wednesday, it's your job. It's your job to build yourself up. Now, how do I build myself up? On my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And we found last session when I spoke that praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, is praying in tongues. So when I pray in tongues, I build myself up. But listen, I build myself up in a very specific and very particular way. I build myself up on my most holy faith. Now we've heard today and yesterday from Marie Helene that we all have the measure of faith. And that's true. We've all got the faith of God inside us. But do you know that sometimes that faith manifests in different levels? So Jesus could say to his disciples, why have you got such little faith? It wasn't that there was little faith in them, it just was little coming out of them. Yeah? And Jesus said, how have you, this man has got such great faith. I think as Peter talks about growing faith. So we can see that faith can have different levels of expression. Now if I was going to speak to you and say, what words would we choose for the highest level of expression of faith, the purest, most powerful level of faith of all, I think somewhere along the line we'd stumble across the word most, wouldn't we? Most, that's a big word, not more, most. And not the most biggest, the most greatest, but the most holy. And that word holy there means set aside for God. You see, it means special to God. And we can use our faith for all sorts of things. Do you know that? You can believe for healing. You could believe for a Mercedes. You could believe for your neighbor to be saved. You could believe for freedom from a certain sin. Are you with me here? And I'm not against that. Not one bit. I am word of faith. I am health and wealth gospel. Well, what's your option? Sickness and poverty gospel? Are you a prosperity preacher? Why, do you want to go and listen to a poverty preacher? What is wrong with you? I'm not against that. I believe every one of us, hear my heart, please. Every one of us should be believing God for every promise in this word and seeing it manifest. We should be people of faith who live by faith. But do you understand that faith is so much more than health and wealth? Turn with me very quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger in Jude if you're going to forget that verse. If you're going to remember it, let's turn to Hebrews 11. And we all know Hebrews 11 is this beautiful hall of fame of faith. You walk through it, you see these great men of faith, and it helps you understand how faith works. It's a sacrifice, it's a shout, it's a choice you make. It's all these different things. It's powerful. But you get to the end here, Hebrews 11. Let's start at 33. Let's start at 32. What more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. I always think that's a strange verse. I don't have time. You're writing a letter. He's not preaching a sermon. He's writing a letter. But maybe he had somewhere to go. I don't know. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped from the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the battle, turned to fight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may attain a better resurrection. Now I see about 8 things that faith does there. Yet I feel that we seem to be obsessed with obtaining promises, faith, and forgetting that faith is so much bigger than that. I don't just have to use my faith to heal me. I can use my faith to heal my street, to heal my community, to heal my town, to heal the nations. I believe that it's time for us to not just obtain some promises, but to grow up a bit. I believe it's time for us to subdue a kingdom or two. Is that okay? Can we subdue a kingdom or two? I believe that it's time for us to work some righteousness, to take the righteousness that God has given us and use it to change the world. I believe it's time for us to quench some violence of fire. In London, we need to quench some violence. There's violent people in this city. Seek to destroy our way of life. Seek to destroy the way we think. It's time to escape a sword or two. I believe it's time to wax valiant in the fight. I believe it's time for us to be strong and tough and powerful and bold and brave and take on some huge enemies. I believe it's time to make some armies run away from us. I'm talking about some of the agendas and some of the issues in this nation. They're going to run from us. We're not going to be... You see, what happened was the homosexual movement came out of the closet. Well, you come out of the closet, I don't care. But now they're trying to push us into the closet. Well, that's not happening. It's time to change this nation. Not just about believing for me to be healed and obtaining my promise of healing, though you should do that. And if you didn't hear Shane's message on healing this week, you should get the copy, watch it on YouTube, download it off our app, get hold of that message, because you need to be healed. You know, but you're not healed so you can watch EastEnders more comfortably. You're healed so you can change the world. And you have a light and be light and salt and light to this nation. It's not just about believing for our mortgage to be paid this month, but to believe for Tree of Life Church to own most of London. You see, if we buy the properties, we control what happens. I believe that the kingdoms of the media, the devil, this world, the kingdoms that hold our politicians in confusion and weakness, the rise of the homosexual agenda in this nation, the confusion of little children not knowing what gender they are. I mean, did they never watch Kindergarten Cop? Some of you get that reference. Do you know that through our state-provided education and our state-provided health system, there are 600 children in London today, 600 children, who are on medication to stop them going through puberty? You're paying for it. Because these children are so confused about their gender, the health service has decided, let's just keep them from going through puberty to help them decide who they are better. I went through puberty confused. I turned out okay. children. And that can't be changed by politics. That can only be changed by the Church of Jesus Christ. 500 babies are murdered every day before they're even born in this country alone. This nation is not in control of itself. It's in a ridiculous amount of debt, and nobody, left or right wing, seems to care. People vote for whoever gives them the most free stuff. Nobody seems to care about Israel. There's a lack of integrity that is epidemic. Christianity is excluded. Islam is celebrated. We've got Goliaths everywhere, absolutely surrounded by them. The church as a whole is tired, weak, and compromising, playing silly games with gold dust and cheap plastic fake gems. And God is saying, I've given you all my power, all my love, all my wisdom. It is a dark time for the UK, but you know, when great darkness covers the earth, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of God is going to manifest like we have never seen. We are going to step into the greatest hour the church has ever had as we stand and pray and believe in faith for revival in this nation that will change not just this nation, but Europe and the world. And so we need some faith to believe that, don't we? We need to believe this. We need to believe that everything we've heard this week can happen. We need, what kind of faith do we need to believe that? Now, I'm not talking about the faith to be healed, the faith to get prosperous. I'm not the faith to be a happy man. I'm not dismissing or negating any of that. That's awesome. I love it. I preach it. But we need a different level of faith right now. A level of faith that can look at these Goliaths, look at these giants, and say, I'm taking you on. And you're not cutting my head off. I'm cutting your head off. You're not feeding me to the dogs. I'm feeding you to the dogs. That kind of faith is most holy faith. And how do I build up my most holy faith? Praying in tongues gives you the faith to believe the giants will fall. The faith to believe this nation will change. It builds up that dimension of your faith. Let's turn to Isaiah 60, shall we? Let me give you a deep theological truth. It comes straight out of the original Hebrew. Isaiah 60 comes after Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what he did for us, the price he paid for us. And everything from 54 onwards in Isaiah is telling us about the life that should be ours in the new kingdom. Jesus even took Isaiah 61 and said, this is my mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Really, Jesus was being a bit sneaky by taking that, because actually that scripture's for you. That scripture's for the church. And she said, I'll show you how to do it. Because you wouldn't know how to do it. Let me show you how to do it. But here we are talking about the church age. Talking about the glory of the church. Arise and shine. Your light has come. Your light has come. What God wants to do in the midst of you is here. The glory to do it, the power to do it, the power to shine is already here. We're not praying for the light. I mean, the scriptures Greg went through earlier were just so powerful. We're not praying for anybody to be healed, to be equipped, to be complete. We're praying for them to know who they are, to see who they are. And when you're praying in tongues and you're praying, building up your most holy faith, it's not that you're praying that God will give you the strength and the might to slay giants. It's that he reveals it to you. He reveals the strategy to you, the plan to you. Oh, we can change this nation. Well, I struggle to believe that. That's okay. God's given you a way to build up your most holy faith. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of God is on you. And we always go to Isaiah and say, no, God won't give his glory to another. That word another is a very specific word in the Hebrew. It means another that is not like this. You are not another that is not like this. You are flesh of his flesh. You're bone of his bone. And Jesus said, Father, I pray that the glory that's on me would be on them. And Jesus gets his prayer answered. The glory of God is on you. You're going to change the world. You are going to change nations. It's Saturday today. You're not the nod to God crowd. You're the crazy ones. You're the fanatics. You're the one who thinks this Bible's more important than watching football today, more important than washing your car today. You're the ones that are going to change this nation. You. Can your shadow heal the sick? Can handkerchiefs that you've touched cure cancer? I'm struggling to believe that. That's okay, because I'm talking about most holy stuff. And I know how to build up my most holy faith. The For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. No matter how dark this nation gets. And I'll tell you right now, it's getting darker. And will get darker. The riots in the streets of London will get worse. But the light will never go out in Great Britain if there's a tongue-talking church that believes the glory is seen on us, that believes in the visible, tangible glory of God. Can you see tongues of fire coming down on people in meetings? Literal, physical tongues of fire? Can you imagine your face would be like Moses? Before you come into the office tomorrow, could you just cover your face, please? Why? It's glowing. I'm not sure if I can believe that. That's okay. We're talking about most holy stuff. And there's a way we can build up our most holy faith. It's time to raise the level of our sights like we've never done before. The darkness in this world, the sinner's crowd, they seem to have no shame and no qualms about inventing new ways to sin and being as unashamed as their wickedness as possible. We had a relative of the family come stay with us a while back, and everything, she blasphemed at everything. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, everything. So we tried to tell her, say, don't say that around us. That's God, that's my father you're talking about. You don't use his word as a substitute for dog excrement. You don't use his name like that. She didn't listen. So we decided we'd be light more than she'd be darkness. And every time she said, oh my God, me, my wife, and all my children, praise God, yeah, hallelujah, God is awesome, Jesus is Lord, glory to God. And she'd stop there, and we'd be in the middle of the streets of London. She'd be like, I'm so embarrassed. You started it. If you're not embarrassed to blaspheme and tell me about your sexual immorality and tell me about how tough you are and tell me about the filth you watched on telly last night, I am not ashamed to glorify God in front of you and to praise God in front of you. Where'd you get that kind of boldness? Shilalamosombebebedasindaradai. Gentiles will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Oh. Nations are going to come to the light that is generated by a church that builds its most holy faith. The church that believes. The church that knows who it is. The church that knows and believes. We're here for one purpose. Harvest. We shine. We shine with love for one another. No more getting offended over stupid stuff anymore. No more silliness. We love one another. We lay down our lives for one another. There's so much glory. People will come. People are looking for that. The reason they go to the pub rather than the church is because they get more love in the pub than the church. You know, if you're part of a drinking crowd in a pub and you disappear for a month and you suddenly turn up again, everyone, hey, you're back. How you doing? How you been? You try disappearing from local church for a month and come back. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Listen to me, the kings are coming. Rulers are coming. Top businessmen, top artists, top politicians are coming. Why? Because we have something that all the money in the world and all the power in the world can't give. We have the glory of God inside us. They're going to see the glory of God, the same glory of God that's manifesting right now in the middle of a sports hall. They're going to see it. It's not about what's on the outside. It's about what's the glory of God's inside us. Well, I'm struggling to believe that. That's okay. This is most holy stuff. And I know how to help you build up your most holy faith. Verse 4, lift up your eyes round about and see. They gather themselves together. They come to you. Your son shall come from far. Your daughter shall be nursed at your side. I want you to lift up your eyes right now. Not your physical eyes, your spiritual eyes. Just in your heart right now. I want you to see a gathering of numbers larger than you can imagine. And it's not religious. I'm not playing a game here. It's not all about numbers. It's about family, because it's not people coming to this church. It's sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters shall come. And where are they going to come? From afar. They're going to come from places you can't even imagine. They're going to come from places you've never been, places you've never gone to. And we're going to call them sons and daughters. We're going to say, that's our family. There's going to be love. There's going to be family. There's going to be life. And there's going to be just an abundance of people. Well, I struggle to believe that. That's okay. This is most holy stuff. And I know how to build up your faith for most holy stuff, your most holy faith. You shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted to you, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come to you. We're going to be a church that flows together. Just such a beautiful unity, a mature church, fully equipped by the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, not tossed to and fro by every media-driven wind of doctrine. Well, that's what we're going to believe. That looks cool on the Christian TV today. But standing strong in the midst of darkness, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of hate, and the force of the nation shall come to Tree of Life. What does that mean? The word force means the armed forces. Many of you have the belief and have talked to me about this belief, and I concur, that what's happening with a number of other nations right now is that what are being called refugees are not coming for refuge. They're an army coming to subjugate this nation from within. But here's the thing. They think they're coming to attack us. They think they're coming to subjugate us with hate. But they're coming to join the church. They're coming to this nation to encounter Jesus Christ and His glory, the glory that's where? Inside you. The love that's inside you. The light that's inside you. Let me tell you, some of the people who have come to this nation just to cause terror, just to blow things up and kill and express hate, shall be some of the greatest apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers we've ever seen. They're coming to kill us. They're going to swap their suicide vests for the Bible and become terrorists to the devil. They will be the Christian extremists. I struggle to believe that. That's okay. I'm talking about most holy stuff today, and I know how to build up my most holy faith. And that word forces doesn't just mean the armed forces. It's also the Hebrew word for wealth. It is. You see, right now, London is full of the wealth of other nations. Other countries are building great monuments in this city to their wealth. Even when Andrew Womack comes to London, we're meeting in the Excel Center, which is owned by United Arab Emirates. I'm paying the Muslims tens of thousands of pounds to bring Andrew Womack to London. But it's time for that wealth to change hands. Well, for the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Yes, I know you're believing to pay off your mortgage. Yes, I know you're believing to pay off your car. Yes, I know you're believing to pay off your sofa. I understand that. And yes, some of you are believing to drive a car just to make your neighbor jealous. I understand that too. I hear you. I know some of you are just believing to have the holiday of a lifetime, but what I'm talking about is so much more than that. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ owning this city. That car manufacturing is owned by us. That what happens in the city is owned by us. That we train and teach others the gospel. That we dominate education in this city. That we dominate the media. That we dominate business. You're talking very big here, Pastor. I'm talking most holy stuff. If you want to build up your most holy faith, Jesus, hallelujah. Verse 6, the multitude of camels shall cover you. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. So wealth is going to come from Midian, Ephah, and Sheba. And people from Midian, Ephah, and Sheba are going to join us and praise God with us in this nation. Where's Midian? That's Saudi Arabia. Where's Ephthah? That's what we call Jordan. And where's Sheba? That's Ethiopia, Yemen, and most of the Muslim areas of northern Africa. They're coming. I think they're coming to kill us, but they're coming to get born again. The countries in which Islam dominates are going to see the glory of God in these last days. And they'll bring their riches into the church and praise God. I'm telling you, the greatest praise songs in history are not coming from Hillsong or Jesus culture. They're coming from Qatar and Saudi and Egypt. And Chris and Vaughn. And I'm telling you, the unique position we have in London is that we'll be full of these people, full of these cultures. I struggle to believe that. That's okay. This is most holy stuff I'm talking about. And I know how to build up your most holy faith. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come with acceptance on my altar and glorify the house of my glory. The sheep from Kedar shall be gathered to us. Where's Kedar? It's Arabia. All of Arabia. And it includes Mecca. They're coming to us. That's what the Bible says. Isaiah 53, did that happen? Are we going to see Isaiah 60 happen? People who don't have a shepherd. Why are the Muslims going to come to us as flocks? Because they don't have a shepherd. Muhammad is not the good shepherd. Allah is not the good shepherd. But I know the good shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. Oh, they're going to be accepted by what happens, what Jesus did on the cross. There's 1 million Muslims live in London. 1 million Muslims. And the glory of God is going to change their life. And the glory of God right now is in you. Faith to subdue kingdoms. That's what the Bible says we have. Faith to subdue kingdoms. I tell you, Islam is a kingdom. Why is Islam not in the book of Revelation? Because it's not lasting. It's not hanging around. They're going to realize the truth. They're going to know the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know, every Muslim in their 5 times of prayer, 17 times a day, over those 5 times of prayer, prays this, Lord, show me the straight way. They're praying 17 times a day. Show me Jesus. Show me Jesus. Islam is going to collapse under wave of the glory of the living God. Nebaioth, the rams of Nebaioth. Do you know who Nebaioth was? He's a direct ancestor of Muhammad. His family tree goes all the way to Muhammad. And look, it says this. They're going to visit the altar and they're going to minister to you. We're going to have preachers standing at pulpits who are going to be able to trace their line back to Muhammad. Just like the Jewish terrorist, Saul. Well, you know this story. He was a terrorist. He was on his way to get a letter to give him permission to kill more Christians. A religious terrorist, because Judaism, the legalistic Judaism, when it looks at people who understand the grace and love of God, hates them. And Islam hates people who understand love and grace. We're going to see thousands of souls in our generation. We're going to see miracles you can't imagine. I had the joy last week of being at a conference in Sweden and listening to Pastor Eddie Leo. Eddie Leo has a church of 250,000 people in Indonesia. A man in his church was murdered by Muslims with a machete. That they hacked his head so bad that his skull was crushed, brain fluid came out of his head. His spine was severed in two. But God raised him from the dead. They took him to hospital. On day two of hospital, he was completely healed of all of his injuries. That can happen in London. That can happen around you. I struggle to believe that. That's okay. We're talking about most holy stuff. And I know how to build up my most holy faith. Shilalomokonderede. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves to the windows? That's verse 8, if you're following. Surely the isles will wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring your sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. God is going to create a place that draws people to him. Can we pray for that? Can we pray for rain in the time of rain? You know, when we find these scriptures, we read Isaiah 60, we should be exactly as Greg said. We should be like Daniel when he discovered what Jeremiah said. Is this going to happen to me? Is this going to happen in the church age? Am I in the church age? Oh, if it's going to happen, I'll just chuck my Bible away in case sarah, sarah. No. If it's going to happen, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be like Elijah. God told me it's going to rain. I'm going to get on my knees and pray and believe for rain. And how am I going to pray if I can't even believe this stuff? I'm going to build up my most holy faith. The magnitude of the coming harvest is going to astonish even the most optimistic person in this room. I think we could easily add 1,000 people a week to our church. Miracles after miracles. Imagine what the news media is going to do then. I believe we're going to see TV news reports of miracles. They're going to see more people converted than Christian TV stations have seen their entire existence. And I'm not against Christian TV. I'm on Christian TV. I love all the response from our Christian TV audience, but there's not many non-believers sitting there watching Revelation TV in the middle of the day. But they watch the news. We're going to plant churches first, and you can imagine. I believe there's going to be businesses that will shut down for a week and be turned into a conference. The people in the business can just fast and pray and believe and receive and get what God's doing. Oh, the darkness is going to be great throughout this city, but great is the power on us. Arise, shine, your light has come. I believe we're going to see piles of pornography burnt, piles of witchcraft, paraphernalia, drugs, and things like that. We're going to see witches born again, mafia bosses, imams. Some of the greatest churches in this nation will be raised up in prisons. I believe the furthest people from Christ will be bowing the knee to him. I believe some of the laborers will be so young you won't even believe it. I believe teenagers will be the backbone of some of what happens. I believe some of those powerful witnesses to the power of Christ will be preteens. I struggle to believe that. That's okay. This is most holy stuff. And I know how to build up my most holy faith. And the sons of strangers will build up your walls, and kings to minister to you. For in my wrath I've smote you, but in my favor I've had mercy on you. There's going to be a rebuilding of the church of Jesus Christ into what it should always have been. And the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. I think what most people don't understand is the book of Acts is not where we should be getting back to. That's the story of the early church. Or we could say the baby church, the immature church. Oh, I wish we had a New Testament church. Do you really? Do you wish we had a service where everyone got drunk on communion wine? If you were too poor to eat, we just sat and ate in front of you and laughed at you? Would you like a service where a man kicks his dad out of the house and moves in with his stepmother? So I'm living with her now. Would you like a church that's legalistic? So legalistic and says you must get circumcised? These are all New Testament churches. Would you like to be part of a church that thinks that Jesus Christ has already come back and raptured everybody and you missed out? There's a New Testament church that believed that. That's not where we need to get back to. It's where we need to start from. And the people are going to start it. It's not going to be the mega superstar. It's going to be the glorious prophet, the great teacher. No, it's going to be people you've never heard of. And people aren't going to be saying, what a great apostle, what a great prophet, what an amazing pastor. They're going to be saying, what a beautiful church. What a glorious church. Isn't Jesus amazing? I believe something that's going to happen in this nation so soon is huge numbers of churchgoers are going to realize they were never born again in the first place. And they're going to get born again. They're going to believe the God. Do you know John Wesley, founder of Methodism, was born again through his own sermon? He was preaching on Romans and he preached the gospel and he got born again hearing himself preach the gospel. He wasn't even saved. Man, some of these traditional churches, they have certain readings they have to read every week from the gospels. They could just be reading John 3 one Sunday. You must be born again. I've got to be born again. Well, that's not happened before. That's because we haven't been praying before. Or if we have been praying, we've been praying, oh God, help me and my wife and my kids. We haven't matured. I'm telling you, the rising tide from this is going to lift every boat. And you're going to have to be okay with that. I told some of you last Sunday, I believe what God's called Tree of Life to do is going to change the world. We're not the only thing, but we're something. We're not the only solution, but we're part of the solution. We're going to plant churches all over Europe, Africa, Asia. I see that in my spirit. I live with that every day. And so I've got three little booklets at home. All of them have a little world map on them, so I can't even open the booklet without seeing the nations of the world. One of them is just prosperity scriptures. Because to do what God's called us to do, we need money. One of them is just humility scriptures. To stand where God's called me to stand, I need to be humble. Man, I need a level of humility I have not reached and attained yet. You know what God asked me yesterday during the worship? I should have got up and testified. God spoke to me during the worship yesterday. He said this. He said, what would you rather, Ben? Pastor a church of 500 and it'd be the biggest church in Dagenham, or pastor a church of 1,000 and it'd be the smallest church in Dagenham? That's holy, holy ground. The sons of strangers will build up your walls. Man, kings shall minister to you. Part of that is going to be some of the broken relationships are going to be rebuilt. Some of the church leaders who have messed up so badly, hurt so many people, fallen so far, you all thought their ministry was dead and over, will suddenly be alive again. And they'll bring great truth from great brokenness, great experience. They won't just talk about grace, they'll know grace. Kings are going to minister to you. Man, that's come true this week. Haven't we been ministered to by royalty this week? Haven't we just had the best? Fed saints, able to serve and minister. I believe it. The gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't toys. They're not to show off to the church. They're to be in the marketplace, changing the world. Forsake not the assembling of the brethren. Now, some people don't even come to the meeting if it's mildly inconvenient. That's the lowest level of assembling. It doesn't say gather, forsake not the gathering. It says forsake not the assembling. To assemble, you have to build something together. Things have to be put in their place. Some people have never been in the right order in the local church. God wants to build something out of our strengths and the graces on each of our lives so that together we'll be more powerful than any one of us could ever be. A church where everyone has a role. Everyone has a ministry. Everyone has a home. Everyone has glory coming out of them. I struggle to believe that, Ben. That's okay. I'm talking about most holy stuff here. And I know how to build up your most holy faith. Therefore, thy gate shall be open continually. Remember they say the sun never sets on the British Empire? We're going to have a day where there's never not a Tree of Life church service on somewhere in the world. Always preaching the gospel. Always a house group on somewhere. You don't have to attend them all, don't worry. People added daily to the church. You know, biblically, we need to rest one day in seven. You can't add people daily to the church and be biblical and have a one-man band ministry. Sailor. That men may bring to you the forces of the Gentiles. We've talked about that. That the kings may be brought. Salvations every day. My vision has always been why we call church on the midweek and the house groups living church, and why we call the weekend services celebration church, is because what's going to happen is celebration church is just where we celebrate everything we want all week. Oh man, I've got no words of knowledge for the sick. It's Sunday morning, I've got no words of knowledge for the sick. Oh, that's because they all got healed. They got healed on Monday in Jimmy's house, and they got healed on Tuesday in Pete's house, and they got healed on Wednesday in Victor's house. And man, there's just nobody left to heal because we live the life. We come every Sunday. We meet new people. Where did you come from? I got saved on the streets last week. I got healed in a living church. I got delivered in the week. Struggling to believe, that's okay. This is most holy stuff. And I know how to build up my most holy faith. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those notions will be wasted. You don't get with the program, you can just disappear. I'm telling you, there's only one way to save this nation. It's the glory of God on the church. There's no other way. And so it's time for us to stop being so timid. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. The things that we thought, people out there think that what they're doing is right. I've got to be careful because there's a whole new message in this. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. You see, the people out there, they think they're doing the right thing. They think if you do not believe in same-sex marriage, if you do believe that marriage is one man, one woman, marriage is for life, sex is for marriage, they believe you're the one that's evil. You're the one that's intolerant. You're the one that's unloving. You're the one on the wrong side of history. Now, that can all fade to nothing, thank you very much. This nation will be righteous. When I say righteous, I mean what the Bible says. When I say we're going to be good, we're going to be good the way the Bible says. We're not going to get our definition of good from the knowledge of good and evil. We're going to get our definition of good from the tree of life. No pun intended. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. I'll take that, Lord. We can have a beautiful place to worship in all our locations. I'll make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of them that afflicted you shall come bending to you. Can you hear what God's saying? Can you hear what God's promising in that verse? And all that despised you shall bow themselves at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, and no man went through thee. Ever felt like that? Where's everybody? I will make you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. The place where the Lord lives, and they'll know. And you shall suck the milk of the Gentiles and suck the breasts of kings, and you shall know I'm the Lord your Savior, the Lord your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass, I will bring gold. For iron, I will bring silver. For wood, brass, and for stones, irons. I will make your officers peace and your exactors righteousness. Now listen, the brass people in our church, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You understand the difference between brass and gold? Gold's just shiny. Gold's just beautiful. If you got brass, you want brass to look beautiful, you got to work at it. There's some people come to Tree of Life, they're just beautiful. I mean, they're just stars. They're superstars in church. They're superstars at home. They're superstars in their marriage. They're superstars at work. You don't have to beg them to tithe, ask them to come early. There's people who I never need to ask. Were they there? I knew that they're going to be there. They're gold. Other people, you can get them to shine that good. But oh, it takes work. Oh, man, alive. You got to polish them so much. And are you okay? And I'm sorry I didn't see you yesterday. Da, 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 da. But let me tell you, those people you just thought that about, the people that you secretly thought, they will never be any good for the kingdom. God is going to make them gold we could never do without. Never dismiss anybody in our church, because the glory of God, when we start to see it, is going to make us so valuable. I can't believe that about this person. That's okay. You can build up your most holy faith. I'm telling you, some of the Sunday crowd, the ones who struggle to come every week, the ones who wander in, doesn't matter when you start the service, they still wander in half an hour late. Oblivious, everyone else is worshiping. They're going to become pillars in the house of God. I struggle to believe that, me too. That's okay. I know how to build up my most holy faith. You know, iron. Iron is a symbol of strength, isn't it? We have some strong people in our church. But sometimes strong people are difficult. They can be a bit brittle, a bit tough. But what you want is silver people. Silver is the language of redemption. That's how you buy a slave back with silver. That's how you rescue someone with silver. Strong people, I can do this. I much prefer people who say, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. But I know my God. And I know his goodness. And I tell you, iron's becoming silver in this place. Iron is becoming silver. Oh, hallelujah. And wood. We don't even want the wood. What are we going to do with the wood? It's going to become a building material. And the crowds can increase and the numbers can increase. And our officers are going to be peace. Who are the officers in the church? Apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, and the elders as well, the elders in the church. The officers, it's an office of an elder, isn't it? The deacons, they're going to be peace. How good is a church service going to be? How good is a living church going to be when the elder walks into the room? Peace walks into the room. Oh, I feel peaceful now. Oh, you're here. How did that happen? That's just the glory of God inside you. Just carry an aura of shalom, an aura of the peace of God. Just walk into a room. Every one of our officers, that's a promise of God. That's a promise of God. When you walk into the room, salvation walks into the room. When you walk into the room, prosperity walks into the room. Abundance walks into the room. Life walks into the room. Love walks into the room. Our officers shall be peace. I struggle to believe that. You haven't met my elder. I know how to build up our faith. Our most holy faith. Our exactors. Do you know who exactors are? I looked up in the Hebrew dictionary. It's oppressors, especially those who oppress with taxes. It's our government. Our government is going to be righteous. Now notice where the change begins. It doesn't begin with government. It begins with the Church of Jesus Christ. And as we change, the government will change. Why? Because we're going to be a praying church. To me, and you can have an argument with me later, not today because I'm too tired, but to me, this solves the whole question of the rapture. Is it pre-mid-tribulation? Is it mid-tribulation? Is it after the tribulation? You can argue as much as you like, but let me tell you, if there's a revived praying church during the tribulation, the Antichrist will not be able to rise to power. We need to go first because he ain't got a chance otherwise. So we have to be taken off the planet. To me, that solves that. We're going to, a revived church is salt and light to the government. Why? Because we're doing what Greg said. Praying for kings and all those in power. How is the whole problem with our government? The whole problem with our government is us not praying. That's a whole nother sermon. Move on, Ben. I struggle to believe some of this. That's okay. Some of my most holy stuff, and I know how to build your most holy faith. Shilalamakundarade. Verse 18, violence shall no more be heard in your land. Wasting nor destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Do you see we can do it? Do you believe we can change this nation? No more violence. No more people getting murdered on bridges. No more people being stabbed. No more suicide bombers. No more violence. No more destruction. The sun shall not be your light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light to you. In other words, you're not going to be moved by circumstances. You're not going to be moved by whether it's day or night. But the Lord shall be your light. You're going to be led by the Spirit. And God himself will be your glory. All I boast in is Jesus Christ, nothing else. That's what Robert said last night. I boast in the Lord. And the reason most people can't stand up like Robert and say, I boast in the Lord, is we're too busy boasting about other things. The sun shall no more go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. The Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. There's a whole sermon in there as well. I need to move on. The people shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, I may be glorified. Now listen to this verse. Listen to this. Listen to how this chapter ends. I've skipped through a couple of things just to get to this. The little one shall be 1,000. Man, I should have got a cheer from Croydon there. I should have got a cheer from Brentwood there. The little one shall become 1,000. Okay, you're struggling now, guys. You're not getting this yet. You can't see it, but it's the most holy thing. Just join with me for 1 minute. Shilamoko tote de de. Shilamo mama mara dai. Shilalabo kadera somba babara. Shilalabo kondara dai. Ilamo so bekita tai. Ola la boson nyen na mai. Onda la boson de de. Yi shaka la boson de de. Alla la bolanda de dai. Isa mama mara sika la bosombo. E chotana ma ki so la basina na nai. Lo babara sina na nai. Yi shako la la. Inja bora so ba kendra ninto la bosoko to. Alessa Barasinda, Limada Robosomba Badai, Nisa Calabosobera Sindaradai, Etamosho Tolo, Lemano Basica Taramosopa, Lebosopa, Nisa Mosondara Boson Kita, alone and in Shandara Mokutote, Yasoko Barasina, Nisoko. Okay, now you've built up your most holy faith. Let's try this again. A little one shall become 1,000. And a small one, a strong nation. And it's going to take years and decades and centuries. I, the Lord, will hasten it. This is revival. This is what we've been talking about this week. How could I possibly have the faith to receive all that? You need your faith built up. You need to build up your faith. Not your faith for healing, your faith for the new car, your faith for prosperity, your faith to pay off the credit card. That's all awesome. I'm not against any of that. But the faith you need to build up to believe for this is your most holy faith. And for some of us, that's the bit we hardly use. And it's the most supernatural bit of all. And you can pray, you see, that's why it's tongues that builds that up, because you can pray in ways you never dreamed. You can pray for things you never knew even happening. I struggle to believe. That's okay. Talking about most holy stuff. And I know how to build up my most holy faith. And now, so do you. Praise God. It's 20 past. Hallelujah.